We've been talking about exposing the spirit of witchcraft. When we think of witchcraft, often we're thinking of the black witch with a hat and, you know, or we may even be more familiar with Wicca and some of the things that people do, you know, the rituals. And yet witchcraft has a very broad meaning, really. Witchcraft is really an attitude of the heart. It's called rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebelling against what God tells us to do is a spirit of witchcraft. Disobeying the word of the Lord is operating in a spirit of witchcraft. It's rebellion against God's authority. We can operate in that realm also with earthly authorities by refusing to submit to the authorities that God has placed in your life, whether it be on the job, whether it be the police, whether it even be in the home, children. Refusing to submit to the authority of your parents is operating in a spirit of witchcraft. It's rebellion. And you know why God hates rebellion so much? It's because Lucifer rebelled against him. And the devastation that we see in the world today is because of the spirit of rebellion, because of Lucifer and what he's doing. So whenever we refuse to listen to God, we're aligning ourselves with Lucifer. Anytime we operate in rebellion, you're aligning yourself with your adversary, actually. And how many know that he doesn't like you? How many know that he hates your guts and he wants to mess you up? So he's going to try to get you and I to rebel against what God is saying so that he can mess us up. Has anybody been messed up by the devil? Every one of us to some degree, because we thought we had a better idea than God did. We thought somehow God didn't have it figured out. So we're going to help him. God didn't know what he's talking about. Isn't that what the devil told Adam and Eve? Oh, God doesn't know what he's saying. No, you can't believe his word. He's holding out on you. If you really want to know what's going on, you're going to have to follow me. If you want to have access to the inert powers that dwell within you. See, the world today, it's not just today, but it's been a long time, but now they have a new label, a new face on it called the New Age, you know. It's just an old lie. It's not anything new about it. But it says that you need to tap into your dormant powers within you. And what people are doing is they're actually seeking power from the wrong source. Even if it means you're seeking power from within you, you're seeking power from the wrong source. Apart from Christ, that is. And so whenever we seek power from the wrong source, obviously we get a counterfeit. It's a spirit of rebellion. Jesus said, anyone who climbs up any other way except through the way, who is Jesus the door, is a thief and a robber. And those who seek to tap into the supernatural apart from Christ are operating in a spirit of witchcraft or rebellion. It's illegal. Why does God tell us this? Because God loves us. Because God's trying to protect us from our enemy. God doesn't want your life destroyed. He wants to bless your life. He wants to build you up. He wants to lift you up. He wants to give you future and a hope. You know, we're good at excuses. Some of us have perfected our craft of excusing. You know, if you ever run anybody that's always got an excuse, why? Instead of saying, you know what, I'm really just not living right. I'm in rebellion right now. Instead, they've got an excuse every time of why they're not following the Lord. Well, if it was the woman you gave me. Well, it was the serpent's fault. Was it Flip Wilson that said, the devil made me do it? The devil can't make you do anything, folks, as a child of God. You're not under his authority, amen? There's someone greater on the inside of you. Now, we talked about the heart of David, how David was a man after God's own heart, and David was a man that really sought the Lord, and he really did seek to please the Lord. He wasn't a perfect man, but he had his heart in the right place. David never sought to exalt himself or promote himself or to take the shortcuts to get to the top. David waited on God, and God was the one who advanced David in the time of his own choosing. He waited on the Lord. Even when David had an opportunity to have a shortcut to the top, he didn't do it because he understood it must be under God's authority and not my own. Amen. I can't take this authority into myself. I cannot usurp something before its time. Amen. God said that he will lift us up if we humble ourselves. If we submit ourselves to the authority that God has placed in our lives. Number one, him, right? His word. Amen. And then also those who God has placed in our lives as authorities. If we will submit ourselves to authority, then we can walk in genuine authority. Genuine, authentic authority comes to those who place themselves under the authorities that God has determined for their lives. And there are many people who are in authority unto themselves. That is the spirit of witchcraft. It is in rebellion to God's established authority. We choose not to submit to the authorities God has placed in my life. Instead, I'm going to be my own authority. And that's what Adam and Eve did, you know. They decided, I'm going to be my own authority. I know what God says, but I'm taking the chance here. I'm taking the risk. Well, maybe God didn't really mean what he said. Maybe God didn't really mean what he said. Isn't that what we sometimes do in our minds? We say, maybe. Yeah. Well, I know what God said, but. Whenever you say but, watch out. I know what God expects of me, but. Oh, I don't want to be that radical. I don't want to get that carried away. I don't want to be that religious. I mean, I like Jesus. Jesus is all right. He's a good friend of mine, you know, a good buddy of mine. But to be Lord, I don't know if I'm going to go that far. You know, some people, they claim Jesus is a Savior, but he's not Lord. Folks, let me suggest to you, yes, that unless he is also Lord, he's not even your Savior. You know what? There is a deception. Many people are living under the lie, under the delusion that they can claim him as a Savior and not allow him to be Lord of their life. And that's why Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? They're even operating in the anointing, in the power of God, in his name. But he's going to say to them, I don't know you. The Bible says the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from evil. God is calling all mankind, every man, woman, boy, and girl, to repentance. Amen. He has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a judgment day, and God does not wink at sin any longer. He now commands all men everywhere to repentance. Repentance means I am to forsake my way and follow his way. I am no longer Lord of my life. He is Lord of my life. I cannot save myself. He's my Savior. Amen. I can't give myself grace. I must depend on the grace of God. Because we're good at giving ourselves grace. Oh, God will understand. It's all right. Besides, everybody else is doing it. How many know, folks, that the majority are not going to go to heaven? I'm going to say it again. The majority are not going to heaven. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way. Because narrow is the way, confined is the way that leads to life. There are few who find it. Jesus said there's going to be few saved. Are you one of those few? Do you know that your heart is right with God? Do you have peace with God? Are you walking under His authority? Is He truly Lord of your life? Having a knowledge of Jesus isn't enough. Even knowing what the Bible says is not enough. Being under His authority is what matters. That He's Lord. I'm no longer my own. I have been bought with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, I need to glorify God now in my body. The rest of my life, the rest of my days are to be given to God. Amen. To serve Him, to honor Him, to live for Him. Amen. Because He died for me, I will live for Him. It's not my life, it's His life now that I live. We've talked about Saul. Saul operated in the spirit of witchcraft. Why? Because Saul was more afraid of people leaving him than God leaving him. He was more afraid of man than he was God. And he compromised the will and the word of God to completely, utterly destroy Amalek, amen, and all the Amalekites. Everything that they had, they were not to be touched by any of it because it was all corrupted and polluted. And God wants His people to be pure. And so God told him to go in and destroy all of your enemies. Because Amalek represents Satan. And the Amalekites, the kingdom of darkness. The demonic forces that are in opposition to us. And so God told him to completely wipe it out. Because if you do not wipe out Amalek, guess what? It's going to be a curse. You see, we want to bargain with God. We say, God, okay, we'll do this, but that, no, can't have that. See, that's what Saul did. He reasoned the people, said, hey, check it out. Look at the goods. What a waste to destroy all the goods that we get, all the booty. All the loot. Let's reason this out a little bit. Yeah, I know what the Lord said, but come on. God would understand, wouldn't He? So we're good at rationalizing things. God understands. It's not a big deal. It's just a little thing. He understands that you're rebelling against Him. He understands that you don't believe Him. You're not understanding that God has a heart of love for you. God loves you so much that He doesn't want you corrupted. He doesn't want you destroyed. And that's why He's telling you to get rid of the sin in your life. Don't play with sin. Don't even look at it. Get rid of the sin because sin will always lead to destruction. Sin will lead you to hell. Sin will lead you to hell. Oh, we've softened it today. We don't want to talk about those things because people get upset when you talk about hell. Come on, hell is a real place. Jesus died on the cross to save you from hell. When you go to hell, you cannot leave. When you go to hell, you're there forever. There's no escaping hell. You are an eternal being. You have an eternal soul. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We're sold out here. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I don't want anything in hell. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. There are a lot of people that call themselves Christians. They're actually serving two masters, folks. That's not a Christian. I don't care what you call yourself. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. The early church, amen, they were called Christians by the unbelievers. They called them Christians because they were followers of Jesus. And their life was demonstrating that. They lived a life of consecration to the Lord and to His kingdom purposes. They realized that God saved me, and now He's raised me up to be with Him, to walk with Him, and to be part of His ministry in the earth, to save the souls of lost mankind, even as I once was lost, but now I'm found. And if Jesus saved me, He can save you too. But you're going to have to repent. Oh, come on. We're offering people the solution before they know they have a problem. All you got to do is say this little prayer. No, God said, repent. Amen. Forsake your sin. Forsake your way. Turn away from yourself as being the Savior and trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So King Saul, he disobeyed God's command. He kept Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and also he kept some of the spoils. And in those days, the only reason why a king would be taken captive is for two reasons. One, it would be to use him as a slave, or possibly to bring him in as an ally. Now, you got people who think that demons are their slaves, that demons are doing what they want for them. And they will play the game for a little while. People that practice, you know, witchcraft, right? Satanism, they have these little dudes doing their bidding. They think that they're under their authority. All they're doing is they're sucking them in deeper, deeper and deeper into the pit. And then the time comes when they go for the jugular. And they'll rip your soul down. Amen. And then you have others who are having their adversaries as, you know, if you will, this ally that somehow we can trust in or depend on. How many know the devil is not a good ally? How does that look practically? I don't want to look like some kind of oddball. I don't want to look like I'm some kind of Jesus freak. So, a little compromise so that everybody likes me. Come on. A little compromise here, a little compromise there, so everybody likes me. What is that? That means you're afraid of people. But the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. Saul feared man and compromised. He lost the anointing, he lost his kingdom, he lost his life. It was an Amalekite that eventually killed Saul. The very one that he compromised with came back and destroyed him. How many know it's very important that if God says stop, you better stop. And he wouldn't tell you stop unless he gave you the grace to stop. Because sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law. You're in the grace of God. Everything you need is available in Christ, but we need to come before His throne. Amen. We need to pray and call on the Lord that we may receive mercy and we may find grace to help us. It's all in Christ. You're complete in Him. He's the one that will save you. He's the one that will keep you. The same thing is true, folks, with us, isn't it? If we compromise with our enemy to please people, eventually it's going to come back and bite us. How many times have you cowered to peer pressure? Because, well, everybody's doing this. And I don't want to look like the oddball and say no when everybody else is saying yes. You know what that is? It's called fear of man. There it is again, right? Fearing people. Fearing people will get you in trouble. And so Saul was confronted by the prophet Samuel. And when he was confronted, what did he do? He began to make excuses. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 13. 1 Samuel 15 verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul because the Lord directed him to do so. And Saul said to him, oh, listen to Saul. Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Lie. You ever been in trouble about something? and then you're extremely nice. You know, mom told you not to get into the cookies. And yeah, when mom was away, you got into the cookies. And when mom comes home, you're just the nicest kid. But it's out of a guilty conscience because you're thinking, boy, she finds out about those cookies. And maybe if I butter her up a little bit, you know. Maybe I flatter mom a little bit, make her talk, well, mom, you look so good today. That's a beautiful dress you got on. That somehow it'll lessen the repercussion when she finds out I just dug into the cookie jar. Illegal access. Now, has anybody ever done that before? No, of course not. The Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. But sometimes when we're in trouble, we can be real nice. Real nice. Why? Because it's our conscience telling on us. How many know your conscience is actually a good thing? Aren't you glad that God gave us a conscience? Because with a conscience, we can say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And I need to get some help here. So here he is. He says, blessed are you of the Lord. I have. Why did he didn't even ask him if he did it. He said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. They. Who's in charge? Who's the king? Saul. What is he saying? They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Not my God, your God. What is he doing? He's taking himself out of the equation. He's not being transparent about himself, is he? He's not coming clean. He's trying to cover it up by trying to remove himself and point the blame on somebody else. And he says, the rest we have utterly destroyed. So, hey, it's not like it was a total, you know, loss here. I mean, we saved the best. And I'm sure the wheels are rolling. He's probably thinking, well, why don't we, maybe we can, yeah, we'll sacrifice him to the Lord your God. That's what we'll do. Folks, I don't believe for a minute that was his intention. What was he doing? Now Saul's getting religious. He's getting religious. Well, I'll be religious now. I'll be pious. I'll make people think I'm all that when I'm not really. And the rest we've utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? What's going on here? Whenever we get proud, we rebel. When we walk in humility, we walk in submission to God's authority. And so when you were little in your own eyes, in other words, you understood that you were poor in spirit. You understood that you needed to depend on God's grace. Amen?
Yes.
And then when we start to do good, come on. Sometimes that's when they're the most vulnerable. When we start to believe that we actually stand on our own now. I don't need to be that committed. I don't need to be that involved. I don't need to really pray like that anymore. I don't really need the word like I did because I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good. But when you're little in your own eyes, then you'll be great in God's eyes. When you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. But those who exalt themselves will be brought down. And he says, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the king of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you the king? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, what's he doing? Here's lie number two. But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Partially. He didn't say that, but that's all he was doing. And gone on the mission to which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, what's he doing again? The people You know, folks, I have seen situations when I've been in the ministry where I know God has revealed something to me. And you know what? I'm not the judge, but I am the paper boy, and I have to deliver the goods, you know, and God gives me a word. I have to speak it, whether it's popular or not. And it's not always popular, but I'm not here in a popularity contest, as they say. I'm here to make famous Jesus, right? We want to make him popular. But I've seen where the word was going forth and it was for certain people, but it was always the other person. Well, I wish so-and-so were here because they really needed to hear that word today. No, you've never said that before, right? Sometimes that's true. Sometimes the people it was intended for are not here, but sometimes it's for us. And if we're not willing to be honest about our own condition, then you can't get help. You can't get set free. And if you're not free, you're going to be a punk for the devil. The devil is going to continue to beat you up and beat you down and destroy your life. He hates you. We should have nothing to do with that, dude. We should be running after Jesus. We should be saying, Jesus, what do you want? That's what I'm going to do. How can I serve you, Lord? How can I commit myself to you? Not how close can I get to sin without getting burned. Because that's what's going on here, folks. You know, Saul thought a little compromise, God would understand, no big deal. I partially obeyed the word of the Lord, but, you know, what we'll do is we'll give God a good excuse. We'll just tell God we're going to make a sacrifice, you know, out of what we've stolen. What we took illegally. Do you know sometimes, folks, people try to use the devil's stuff even to serve the Lord? That's why he said, don't even take their stuff. Have nothing to do with their stuff. Sometimes people are dipping into the wrong basket in their service to Jesus. Sometimes we're doing good things, but not the right things. Sometimes we get impatient in our service to God and we start to take shortcuts to try to make happen what God says he's going to make happen in his time. And we get out from under the authority of God and we become an authority under ourselves, and then we begin to try to make something happen because we feel like we need to make it happen. If God's not going to do it, then I'm going to make it happen. You know, if God's not going to give me that ministry that I think I want, then I'm going to put myself in that ministry. There's a lot of people that are not in their assignment, that are not in the place that God chose for them. There's people in pulpits that don't belong in pulpits. Are you with me? Because they thought that would be great to be in that place. The best place and the safest place to be is in the will of God for your life. And so what did Samuel say to Saul? He said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or listen than the fat of rams. In other words, all your religiosity, all of your religious service to God, all of the things that we can do for God is meaningless. It's not acceptable to God unless we are in obedience to God. It's not just doing a good idea thing. It's doing what he said to do that matters. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, verse 23, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. Now he comes clean. After he was nailed down, all the excuses went out the window. No longer did he have any alibis, no one to blame. It came down to, guess what? You're caught. Folks, how many know true repentance is not just I got caught and I'm sorry now I got caught? True repentance is I'm sorry that I broke God's heart by not believing him, by not loving Jesus enough to listen to what he tells me to do because he loves me so much. Do you understand? It's because God loves us that he tells us what to do. It's not because he's trying to take away your fun. He's trying to teach us that the greatest treasure, the greatest pleasure, the greatest joy, the greatest love, the greatest peace that you're going to ever experience is not going to be found in this world. It's only going to be found in Him. And to have peace with God means that I'm in right standing with God. I am in agreement with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do it His way now. He's Lord now. And if He's Lord, then He's Savior. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And who is that? Is He telling us to fear Satan? No. God has the authority to confine one to heaven or hell. Satan does not. As a matter of fact, Satan is under God's control too. Read the book of Job. He had to go and get permission from, amen, from the Lord to touch Job. And God allowed that because He says at the end, "I'm going to make Job better than he was before." And so He allowed him to go through this testing. Why? Because God always turns around anything that the enemy intends for bad. He always turns around for good, right? That's our God. And so what did he say? Saul says, "Therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord." Now he wants to go and worship the Lord with Samuel. But Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." Can you imagine the devastation that Saul must have felt to be rejected? You know what he's doing? He's rejecting his excuses. The title of today's message, folks, is this: no more excuses. Do you hear me today? No more excuses in your life. Don't make any more excuses about your sin. Don't make any more excuses about, you know, you're collaborating with the enemy. Don't do it. Because the only sin that will not be forgiven is an excuse. Excuses cannot be forgiven. Honest hearts, honest people, people that are real with God and say, "God, I've sinned against you. I have no covering for my sin. And against you only have I sinned. And I'm asking you, God, to forgive me, forgive my sins, cleanse me from my unrighteousness, Lord. I only come to you because only in you is there mercy. Only you is there help. God, forgive us for the times when we fear men more than we do Him. When you fear men, you will compromise the will of God. When you fear God, are you hearing me? You will not fear man. We need the fear of the Lord again. Amen. There's so little fear of the Lord today in the church. We have people that are living in adultery, living in fornication, drugs, the whole thing, all the sins. And what do? We come and we make excuses about it. "Well, it's because of this. It's because of that." You know, forget it. Jesus hung on that cross to deliver you from it. The power of the blood of Jesus is able to set you free. Yeah. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that God cannot do. There is no problem too big, no mountain too tall, no sorrow too deep. Amen. There's no sin too great that God cannot set you free from it if you have an honest heart. And don't be a Saul, but be a David that said, "Oh Lord, forgive me, I've sinned against you. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy of my salvation. But as long as we make excuses, there's not going to be the joy of your salvation. As long as you make excuses, you're not going to walk in victory. As long as we make excuses, we're not going to walk in peace. It's time to come clean with God. It's time to come clean about my sin. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with my sin. I'm done with the devil. I'm done with the world. Jesus, I want you. I want your salvation. I want my sins blotted out. I don't want to go to hell. Right. Amen. I want to go to heaven. Yes. You must repent. You must believe. When the people came to John the Baptist to be baptized, it was a baptism of repentance. It says that John's clothes were this coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. This doesn't look like your traditional Christian with a suit and tie and the plastic hair and the Hollywood smile. Kind of like me, right? Yeah. What's left of it? But it says that people in Matthew 3 and verse 5, from Jerusalem and from all Judea and all over the Jordan Valley, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. And then when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him to baptize, to watch him baptize, he denounced them. And he said, listen to what he said, you brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? What was going on? Folks, something was going on in their hearts. It's called the fear of the Lord. Then he said this. Are you hearing today? Say amen if you're here. Amen. Say amen if you're not here. Okay, that was good. Prove by the way you live. Everybody say, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Prove by the way you live that you have truly repented and given your life to God. Folks, how many understand the seriousness of this message today? I don't know what your theology is, but when I read my Bible, and by the Holy Spirit, I understand that there are some very severe consequences for anybody who toys with sin. And people are toying with their sin. They're playing with sin. They're dabbling in the occult. They're dabbling with immorality, sexual immorality. They're doing things that they know God disapproves of, and they're doing it on purpose. And I want you to know, folks, that there is a place called hell for people who live that way. Why? Because they are unrepentant. Repentance means that I am done with my sin. Now, I'm sure we're going to have twice as many people here next week. How many know that people who love you will tell you the truth? There is a lack of true repentance today. There is a cheap grace gospel that says you can pretty much do whatever you want. No boundaries. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Well, remember Judas, who was a partaker in the anointing, who was with Jesus. He was the treasurer. He was there throughout Jesus' ministry. And Judas, who was the one that betrayed Jesus, remember the story? And Judas found no place of repentance, it says. Judas was a man who probably had remorse because it says that he was remorseful when he received the wages of unrighteousness. You know, was it the 30 shekels of silver? And then he went out and he cast them down because he felt sorry for what he did. But then he went and he tried to undo his sin his own way. And it says he went and he hung himself. Judas was one of the 12. Judas was with Jesus, but Judas had forsaken the Lord. He had betrayed his Lord. Judas was sorry about what he did. But Judas did not repent of his sins. He tried to undo it in his own way. He tried to deal with it his own way. How many know that there's only one way for you to be free from sin?
Amen.
And when God calls us to repentance, folks, He's calling us to a full surrender. Can everybody say full surrender?
Surrender.
Are you willing today, before God, to be honest enough to say, you know what? I'm making a decision today. I'm going to get real with God. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to repent today. And that means that I am done with sin. I am done with the devil. I am done with the world. I'm going to go after Jesus. I'm going to follow the Lord for the rest of my life. That is repentance, folks. Not this dabbling here and dabbling there. That's double-mindedness. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But God says, repent of your sins and do the works that are befitting for repentance. Amen? That prove that you have truly repented of your sins. I am done. When I came to Jesus, I was done with drugs and alcohol and all that crap.
Amen.
Amen.
For lack of a better term. Did it mean I was perfect overnight? No, but it meant that my heart was in the place where I was done with me. I was done with my way. I was done with the way of the world. And I came to Jesus as a broken man. And I said, God, be merciful to me. Save me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. I don't want to live in sin anymore. Sin is what put him on the cross. I'm not going to do those things, amen, that grieve him. I'm not going to live any longer in those things that put him on the cross. I'm going to join ranks with Jesus. He's my commander-in-chief. He's holy. And because he's holy, I'm to be holy too. You see, you're a Christian because you're a follower of Jesus. Not because it's a name that you carry. Would you bow your heads this morning? The Spirit of the Lord has been speaking to us this day. I can't do this. And the Lord is saying to you today that you need to repent. And you know who you are today. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to come back to Him. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You need to make Him not only Savior, but He has to be Lord of your life, or He's not Lord of anything. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you must turn to God. Today is the day you must call upon the Lord and forsake your sin. Be willing to turn away from your sin, folks. That's repentance. Turn away from you and turn to God today. Are you willing to stand up for Jesus? Are you willing today? Would you agree and say by standing up today that I am deciding to follow Jesus? Don't stand up unless you mean business for God today. But you're here and you're saying, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to repent of my sins and of my ways. And I want to be set free from every bondage, from every addiction. If that's you, I want you to stand up right now. I want to be free. You're here today and you're saying, I have not been walking with Jesus. I've walked away from God. But today, I want to walk with God. I want to return to God. Hallelujah. If that's you, I want you to come right down to the front. Come on, let's do it together. Let's do it together. Come on, make that stand. Come on down. Just say, I'm here. I'm recommitting my life to Jesus today. I'm not afraid of man. I don't care what man thinks. What I care about is what God thinks. You're coming to Jesus today. You're not coming to me. You're not joining a church. You're coming to Jesus today. You mean business. Would you just come? God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you for coming. God bless you, my brothers. Come on, maybe you need to recommit your life today. It's okay. Come on, church. It's time to go after Jesus. It's time to run the race. It's time to get back in the race. It's time to fight the good fight. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to return to the Lord with all of our heart. With all of our heart. Oh, God. Come on, all across this place, just lift your hands. Lift your hands to God right now. Lift your hands. And I want you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. as a sinner in need of salvation, in need of your help. I need your grace, God. Lord, grant me the grace of repentance. Lord, I don't want to just make an empty vow today. I mean business today, Jesus. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my future. I surrender, Lord, to you. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior today. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me in your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Save me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Lord. I receive you as my Savior. Hallelujah. Now lift up your praise to the Lord. Hallelujah.